L1 Doc presente. Seven. Sette tracce per una sera. Questa sera. Mike Andolfo.
The album featured in this edition of Seven is Aqualung, Jethro Tull's fourth LP. Seven is a feature on Radio L1 where we choose seven tracks from an album to carefully explore it, showcasing its significance within both its musical and historical context. Aqualung was released in the spring of 1971 and is a work of remarkable depth, intensity, and influence. Widely considered a milestone in rock history, the album consolidated Jethro Tull's place among key progressive rock bands such as Pink Floyd, King Crimson, and Genesis. The British band had already made a name for themselves with their earlier albums. This Was in 1968, Stand Up in 1969, and Benefit in 1970. Frontman Ian Anderson, a Scottish multi-instrumentalist and the songwriter behind every track, had drawn attention for his distinctive presence and unconventional flute playing, often performed while balancing on one leg. However, Aqualung propelled the band to global fame, reaching the top five in eight countries and peaking at number four in the UK and number seven in the US. Musically, Aqualung is an ambitious, multi-layered album full of unexpected twists. Equally ambitious are the lyrics, exploring universal themes such as the meaning of life, societal contradictions, faith, and the misuse of religion, all through eccentric characters. The album's first side portrays marginalized figures, from a pathetic homeless individual to a student turned prostitute. The second side critiques organized religion, depicting it as a tool of control rather than spiritual guidance. The critique is aimed at the church as an institution, while presenting a vision of God beyond doctrine and ritual. Jethro Tull delivers its message through a sophisticated blend of hard rock, folk, acoustic passages, and orchestral arrangements, all brought together by Anderson's unmistakable voice. Listening to the album feels like being immersed in an all-embracing sound experience. So let's dive into the title track, Aqualung, a powerful composition known for its dynamic shifts from heavy guitar riffs to mellow acoustic melodies. The opening line, sitting on a park bench, paired with its famous riff, has become one of rock's most iconic moments. The track vividly depicts Aqualung, a grotesque figure who is lasciviously eyeing young girls in a way that is both disturbing and sorrowful. But it goes deeper, offering commentary on society's attitude towards the homeless, those we often avoid or judge. It exposes our discomfort and even anger when confronted with people in desperate need, reflecting unsettling aspects of human nature. But as the music slows, the tone shifts, showing Aqualung in a different light. Cold, suffering, hobbling down the street, picking up a discarded cigarette butt, relying on the Salvation Army for warmth. This stark contrast evokes mixed emotions, with Anderson's voice moving between a macabre howl and a delicate softness. The music mirrors this tension, blending heavy rock and gentle flute melodies, pulling listeners between discomfort and uneasy compassion for those on the margins. Through this portrayal, we glimpse the deep misfortune beneath Aqualung's broken existence. Beneath the dirt and desperation lies a human being, someone who spits out pieces of his broken luck.
7.
swimming in the cool sun, watching as the frilly panties run. Hey, Aqualung, feeling like a dead duck.
That was Aqualung, the title track from this iconic album. Interestingly, Aqualung is also a term for underwater breathing equipment, a connection Ian Anderson made due to the protagonist's labored, wheezing breaths. Now we shift from the despair of a homeless man to the tragic story of Mary. Here's Cross-Eyed Mary, a song about a young girl still in school who leads a life far from innocence. She's an underage prostitute, catering to society's outcasts like Aqualung, as well as wealthy clients who whisk her away to upscale restaurants in Hampstead, a posh London neighbourhood. Yet Anderson's lyrics steer clear of direct condemnation. The song, and the album as a whole, suggests that even those on the fringes of society possess an inherent spirituality, with the potential for redemption, however unlikely it may seem. Mary is portrayed as a good person trapped in a grim reality. She signs no contracts, as the lyrics put it, meaning that her work is off the books and illegal. Despite her grim trade, she's known as the Robin Hood of Highgate, sometimes offering her services for little or even for free or just for a song. While her wealthier clients offer financial stability, they've also stolen her innocence, like stealing candy from a baby's mouth, as the song chillingly puts it. The term cross-eyed carries a dual meaning. It might describe her physical condition, but it also hints at her inability to fully grasp the dangers of her choices in a world that takes more than it gives. In 1983, Iron Maiden covered this track, paying tribute to its haunting melody and compelling narrative. Now, let's listen to Cross-Eyed Mary.
Seven. Yeah.
playground. Yes, no kicks from the little boys. I'd rather make it with.
Jethro Tull's sound on this album is unmistakably shaped by its members. Ian Anderson, the band's leader and the writer of all the songs, Martin Barr on guitar, Geoffrey Hammond on bass, John Evan on keyboards, and Clive Bunker on drums. It's hard to argue that Jethro Tull ever sounded better than they do on Aqualung. The next track, Wondering Aloud, is a delicate masterpiece. Perhaps the most intimate moment on the album. It's a tender love ballad with Anderson's acoustic guitar at its heart, subtly enriched by orchestral swells and occasional piano touches. The song speaks of life's simple, authentic joys, those fleeting, special moments shared with someone you truly love. It asks the gentle question, will the years treat us well? Picture the scene. He's lying in bed, waiting for her as she brings freshly toasted bread, only to spill crumbs in the bed. He shakes his head with a knowing smile. It's a love song, but there's a bittersweet thread running through it, a reflection on life and love, and the idea that giving yourself to another person is one of life's highest aspirations. Anderson's lyrics say, "My hand in her hair. We are our own saviors as we start both our hearts beating life into each other." It's a powerful line, suggesting that two people give meaning to each other's lives, becoming each other's reason for being. The way Anderson delivers the line, "Wondering aloud, will the years treat us well?" is so soft, so understated, that it feels more like a passing thought than a question in need of an answer. What matters is not the future, but the feeling of the moment, captured in its full beauty and fragility. Ian Anderson has a knack for singing lightly about heavy topics. But be careful. Don't take this song at face value. It may sound like a simple feel-good tune, but it conceals deeper layers of meaning. The closing line, "And it's only the giving that makes you what you are," subtly challenges individualism, the individualism so typical of postmodern society. Anderson's vision of life is rooted in shared experience and mutual support. It rejects the self-centered mindset that isolates us from one another. Wondering aloud.
Wondering aloud how we feel today. Last night, sip the sunset. My hand in her hair. We are our own saviors as we start both our hearts beating life into each other. Wondering aloud.
Will the years treat us well? As she floats in the kitchen, I'm tasting the smell. Yeah. Of toast as the butter runs, then she comes spilling crumbs on the bed, and I shake my head, and it's only the giving that makes you what you are.
That was Wondering Aloud. Now we come to one of the most famous and controversial tracks on the album, My God. Ian Anderson often introduces this song as a blues from the man upstairs. The lyrics are straightforward and unflinching, tackling not religion itself, but the politics of religion. Anderson questions how mankind has twisted the pure, simple message of Christ to serve self-centered desires and power structures. This is not a song against God. Rather, it's an indictment of religion as a system, an institution that can become a tool for oppression. The song challenges how religion has tried to confine God. As Anderson sings, and here are the lyrics, "People, what have you done? Locked him in his golden cage, made him bend to your religion, him resurrected from the grave." These are bold and thought-provoking lyrics, especially considering the time when the song was released. Anderson knew he risked causing offence with lines that find fault with the Church of England, calling it bloody and trapped in the chains of its own history. He even points to the idea that people turn to God out of a sense of obligation rather than true belief. In the line that says, "So lean upon him gently and don't call on him to save you from your social graces and the sins you used to wave." Anderson's biting critique continues. "And the bloody Church of England, in chains of history, requests your earthly presence at the vicarage for tea." Here, Anderson draws attention to the systems of authority that have used the concept of God as a justification for morally questionable actions. There's a distinction to be made. God is one thing, religion, created and shaped by human hands, is something else entirely. The reference to the bloody Church of England connects to how Henry VIII took advantage of the Reformation, ousting the Catholic Church and appointing himself the head of the Church of England. My God is a powerful and intense rock track, featuring a choral interlude that heightens its dramatic tone. The acoustic intro builds into a moody piano riff, soon overtaken by roaring electric guitar. This evolves into a striking exchange between Anderson's flute and the choir, making it one of the most memorable moments on the album. The flute in this track, as well as in Locomotive Breath, which we'll listen to later, is among the most celebrated in rock history. Now, here's My God, and decide for yourself.
People, what have you done? Locked him in his golden cage. Golden cage. Made him bend to your religion. Him resurrected from the grave. From the grave. Is the God of nothing? If that's all that you can see, you are the God of everything. He's inside you and me. So So lean upon him gently, and don't call on him to save. You know who, with his plastic crucifix, he's got him fixed. Confuses me as to who and where and why, as to how he gets his kicks. He gets his kicks. Confessing to the endless sin, the endless whining sounds. You'll be praying till next Thursday to all the gods that you can count. Thank you.
After My God, we move on to Hymn 43, where Ian Anderson delves deeper into his critique of organized religion, once again targeting Christianity. Here, he continues the theme of disdain towards religion as an instrument of domination, introduced in My God. Hymn 43 is a rock song with gospel undertones and a catchy melody. The lyrics ask for God's forgiveness, not for sins, but for what humanity has done in his name. Anderson delivers lines like, "If Jesus saves, well, he'd better save himself," from the gory glory seekers who use his name in death. The song's intensity builds as Anderson's raw shout is layered over Martin Barr's searing guitar riffs and John Evans' frantic piano, creating a powerful and dynamic sound. The verse, "Our Father high in heaven, smile down upon your son, who's busy with his money games, his women, and his guns," is followed by a cry of salvation. "Oh, Jesus, save me." These lyrics take a sharp turn, referencing the genocide of Native Americans in the New World, gambling in Nevada casinos, and the Hollywood studios that helped perpetuate the myth of white supremacy. The verse, quote, "The unsung Western hero, he killed an Indian or three, and then he made his name in Hollywood to set the white man free," unquote, reveals the hypocrisy behind those who claim religious righteousness while supporting violence and exploitation. And then, in a particularly striking image, Anderson sings, "Well, I saw him in the city and on the mountains of the moon. Hey, his cross was rather bloody, and he could hardly roll his stone. Oh, Jesus, save me." This verse portrays a Christ figure worn down and burdened by humanity's sins, exhausted by what people have done in his name.
A Father high in heaven, smile down upon your son, yeah, was busy with his money game. And on the mountains of the moon.
That was Hymn 43. You are listening to Radio L1, and I'm Mike Gandolfo narrating the 7 tracks that I've chosen to present the album Aqualung. Now, let's move to one of the most iconic tracks on the album, Locomotive Breath. The runaway train in this song serves as a metaphor for the out-of-control forces driving modern society, namely unchecked population growth, capitalism, and the overwhelming pressures of industrialization. The metaphor captures the unrelenting pace of life in a world where people are reduced to mere cogs in an unstoppable machine. Anderson's lyrics, "There is no way to slow down," capture a sense of impending doom, reflecting the fear of surviving in a world that's spiraling out of control due to greed and corruption. The song is an insightful critique of the destructive consequences of technological progress and societal systems already evident in 1971. In an interview, Ian Anderson remarked, quote, "When I was born in 1947, the population of planet Earth was a little less than a third of what it is today. This should give one pause for thought that in the lifetime of one man, the planet's population has grown more than threefold. One would think that population growth has brought prosperity, happiness, food, and a reasonable spread of wealth. But exactly the opposite has happened," unquote. In the chorus, the line, "Old Charlie stole the handle and the train, it won't stop going, no way to slow down," Old Charlie, this mysterious figure, could be interpreted as either God or the devil, both of whom have let the train race out of control. The protagonist in the song is described as the all-time loser, a man who tried to keep up with society's relentless pace but burned out in the race for success. Lines like "crawling down the corridor" symbolize his struggle to keep moving forward despite being crushed by the weight of modern life. "The all-time winner has got him by the balls" refers to the powerful figures of unrestrained capitalism who trap individuals in this vicious cycle. As the man spirals downward, he loses everything, his family, friends, and even his woman. In a final attempt to regain control, he turns to religion, represented by Gideon's Bible, found in motels across America. But when he opens it at page 1, looking for salvation, the train keeps speeding toward the inevitable, with no way to slow it down. The song's music heightens the tension, starting with an interplay between piano and lead guitar before the bass drives the song forward with relentless energy. Anderson's frantic shouted vocals amplify the sense of danger, and the track builds to a dramatic crescendo, leaving you with the feeling that the train could derail at any moment. But like many other songs on the album, it fades out, leaving the listener to wonder if the intensity ever found its limit. Locomotive Breath has been a favorite among metal bands, and it's easy to see why. Let's listen to it now.
In the shuffling madness of the locomotive breath runs the all-time loser headlong to his death. Oh, it feels a piston scraping, steam breaking on his brow. Old Charlie stole the handle and the train, and won't stop. Oh, no, it could slow down. Oh, he sees his children jumping off the stations one by one. His woman and his best friend in bed and having fun. Oh, it's calling down the corridor on his hands and knees. silence howling, catches angels as they fall, and the all-time winner has got him by the balls. Oh, he picks up Gideon's Bible, open at page one. I thank God he stole the handle, and the train it won't stop. Oh, I know it could slow down.
The closing track, Wind Up, ties together the album's themes in a dramatic theatrical piece that delivers a final critique of organized religion. Anderson's piano and vocals echo the style of Aqualung, bringing the album full circle. The title, Wind Up, is a clever play on words. It not only signals the closing of the album, but also suggests that the song is intended to wind up or irritate representatives of traditional religious institutions. The phrase also refers to the mechanical action of winding up clocks or music boxes, a metaphor for how religious rituals and beliefs are repeatedly wound up over time. The song starts with a quiet, introspective piano and vocal line before the band erupts into hard rock midway through. Martin Barr's guitar work shines during this section, adding an edge that balances the quieter moments. The narrator in the song rejects the judgments imposed by society and decides to forge his own path, free from the constraints of religious conformity. The refrain emphasizes that there is no God who needs to be wound up or recharged every Sunday, challenging the need to conform to external rules. It's a powerful message of self-determination, a call to break free from the hypocritical rituals and dogmas of organized religion. Anderson drives home this point with a verse. And I asked this God a question, and by way of firm reply, he said, I'm not the kind you have to wind up on Sundays. He then follows with, I don't believe you. You had the whole damn thing all wrong. He's not the kind you have to wind up on Sundays. The song continues with the biting line. How do you dare tell me that I'm my father's son when that was just an accident of birth? This verse challenges the notion that we are bound to follow the religious traditions of our ancestors simply because we were born into them. The lyrics suggest that true spirituality can be found outside the boundaries of dogmatic conformity. This sentiment was typical of the counterculture movements of the 1960s and early 70s, including flower power, hippie culture, and explorations of alternative forms of spirituality. And the song ends with the line, "You can excommunicate me on my way to Sunday school and have all the bishops harmonize these lines," emphasizing Anderson's scorn for religious hypocrisy.
When I was young and they packed me off to school and they taught me how not to play the game, I didn't mind if they groomed me for success or if they said that I was just a fool. So I left there in the morning without God tucked underneath my arm, the half-assed smiles and the book of rules. And I asked this God a question, and by way of firm reply, he said, I'm not the kind you have to wind up
on Sundays. So to my old headmaster and to anyone who cares, before I'm through, I'd like to say my prayers. I don't believe you had the whole damn thing all wrong. It's not the kind you have to wind up on Sundays. Well, you connect
brings us to the end of our journey through Jethro Tull's Aqualung. This album is a perfect introduction to the band and, along with Thick as a Brick, 1972, remains a cornerstone of the progressive rock movement that defined the early 70s and propelled Jethro Tull to global fame. Ian Anderson, a key figure in prog rock, continued making music beyond these classics, though his later works ventured away from the chart-topping hits to explore new avenues, including performances as a baritone in more classical settings. For longtime fans, Anderson still tours with Jethro Tull, a band with a never-evolving lineup that remains unmistakably shaped by his presence. I recently had the chance to see Jethro Tull live in Milan in February 2023, 51 years after first seeing them at the Palasport Arena in Rome on February 1, 1972. A pivotal moment in the band's career. Though Anderson's voice, now weakened by a chronic lung condition, lacks its former timbre, and he can no longer hit the high notes or perform his signature one-legged flute stance, the band's musicianship remains exceptional. The flute, guitar and piano solos continue to captivate, echoing the energy and emotion that have made Jethro Tull's music timeless. So that's it from me, Mike Andolfo. Goodbye for now. Stay tuned and keep those rock vibes rolling.
Avete ascoltato
7 tracce per una sera.